Hopefully you had received an email, or if you had not, or seen the Facebook post today saying the course that we would be here, and I'm thinking maybe you did because guess what, like you're here. Or you've been under a rock and you have no idea what's going on in the world around you, and you thought, well, I don't see, well, I'm here, where's, you know, kind of thing. But I want to just say on behalf of our leadership that we made the decision to gather corporately and have worship this morning. And I want to say that was not intended in any way to be a statement against other churches who are not gathering today. We totally respect and value every individual congregation's responsibility to make that decision for what they feel is right for their church on today and moving forward. And I promise you that our elders here, as we were in discussion about today, that we will be in discussion each week, making a decision on a weekly basis, given the resources and the information that we have available to us to make what we hope will be a wise decision for the well-being of our church community here at New Hope, and friends or family that you may want to invite to come and to worship with you and to worship with us on Sundays, right? And so I just want to assure you that we are trying our best to stay apprised of the situation and our leadership, and to get as good as information as we can as it comes available and make the decision. And so we'll be letting you know every week. So I just want to let you be aware that will be a weekly decision for us. And so our goal is midweek to make a decision for that upcoming week. And so again, as I think as Marla said, we invite you, would you please be flexible with us in all the ministries that are here as we just have to kind of work through this sort of day by day, week by week, and take it as it goes, okay? And so I know it sometimes can be challenging because it's kind of a little unprecedented. And so we're having to figure this thing out as we go. And at the same time, to trust God that He is Lord over heaven and earth. And so regardless if there is a virus or anything or any type of economic or political or world upheaval in any form or fashion, it doesn't upset the apple cart when it comes to God. He is still completely aware. He is still Lord on His throne. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the same God who sent His Son to die on the cross so that through our faith we could have salvation and the gift of eternal life, and He is very much alive. And so we're just grateful and thankful and want to continue to just live every day with an appreciation for the salvation and the life of faith that we are blessed to have through God, and the joy that brings our lives in the midst of being in times where there's just so much uncertainty right now in the world and what's swirling around us, you know. And so I want to acknowledge that up front this morning, as pastor and as leader and as your friend, as a brother in Christ, as a part of the family here at New Hope, so that just to share it, hopefully that, you know, at least from my perspective too, with our leaders together as a group, that we are trying to do our best in this kind of a troubling, uncertain, upheaval sort of time. And so with that being said today, I have to take that and put that alongside of this statement that I have on the screen. I should have made that a little bigger, and I'm not sure why I didn't. And so I'll apologize. And if you can't read it, I'll read it for you this morning. And it says this, says the best medicine for fear is hope. The best medicine for fear is hope. The best medicine for fear in crisis is hope. For you see, fear invites us to grieve something that has not happened yet. Fear invites us to grieve something that has not happened yet. Now, it still may happen. But fear focuses us in an anxiety and a worry about something that has not completely come to pass. And hope challenges us to recognize the reality in which you stand in and say, but yet there is also another reality, and that is the promise of eternal salvation in Christ. And that reality is just as strong and true in the moment as what I feel. So my hope is meant to be a remedy for fear. For my hope invites me to focus on the promise of life in Christ and victory over all that would come against me to try to destroy me or to deceive me or to derail me or to lead me astray, right? To wonder if God is bigger than the coronavirus. I tend to think that he is. I tend to think that he is. And again, this is not meant to be, I just want to reaffirm here, this is not meant to be a statement against anyone else who has made a decision not to have the doors, because most churches that are not gathering corporately are providing opportunities for folks to be able to worship sort of online, maybe as their home family at home, or maybe with another family that they're close with, and so they can still have that experience, and they're just not gathering corporately like we are this morning. That's okay, so it is what it is. I promised you that we would do our best to make wise decisions along the way. And I thought about that, and I was so grateful that wisdom doesn't need toilet paper. Because if it did, we might be running low. All right? Which is crazy. And I'm not even going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole, but it is what it is. All right? So, but I tell you what, whether you have toilet paper or not, or paper towels or whatever, the Lord is still the Lord, and we are still his church. And there's a mission the church has been given in the midst of any time, season, good, bad, challenging, whatever. And that is that we would serve Christ by carrying out the mission that he gave to the church, which was to go and to make disciples of all the nations, right? To invite people and to teach them and walk with them as followers of Jesus. They had done that, and so they were supposed to take that out into the world and, you know, do likewise. And they were supposed to go out and say, in the midst of the crises that are all around us here in that time and that culture, they said, hey, listen, we have good news. We know that the politics are not the way you want it, okay, in Jerusalem and in Palestine, all that kind of stuff, large area. We know that the politics are not the way you want it. We realize that there are, we don't have answers for all the things that ail all the towns and the communities and right in the regions. We know that not everybody agrees with you. We know that not everybody's going to see eye to eye. We know not everybody's going to want to listen to you. We know that there are folks who are going to tell you that you're not worth much at all and that you're crazy and that you ought to just stop believing that craziness about that weird guy named Jesus, you know? And there's going to be all sorts of things that people are going to encourage you and invite you to believe. And Jesus, and essentially tells the disciples, he says, look, I want you to go out and tell the powerful good news in this time of crisis. I want you to be a mouthpiece for the good news of salvation that comes through faith. I want you to be a light in the darkness. If you are if you're a guest with us today, one of the things that we have at New Hope we've done for the last few weeks as we've actually been in the season of Lent is to work through a devotional called A Suffering Savior. And as we've gone through that devotional, and it's a real easy reading, just as a guided reading through the Gospel of Mark during the season of Lent. It's pretty kind of low-key, pretty simple. It's, you know, it's just, I'm enjoying it. I hope you guys are, the ones that are doing that. And there in the Gospel of Mark, we saw this last week, in fact, that in the in Matthew 5 and 6, we saw where Jesus had invited these disciples, this kind of ragtag bunch of guys, you know, to, if you will, to come and to follow him. He wanted them to come alongside him. He wanted them to learn from him. He wanted them to work with him. He wanted them to go with him where he was going. And he wanted them to basically partner, with him on this mission that the Father had given him, to go and talk about the Father's kingdom and to encourage and invite people to come and to be a part of that kingdom through their faith in him as the Christ, referring to Jesus. And he wanted to say, look, help me to go invite people and share this news that they can be a part of God's kingdom and be a follower of me. For I am the Son of the living God. I'm the hope of the world. I'm the light of the world. Any man that believeth me, though he perish, he shall have eternal life. Would you invite people to follow me, and I'll lead them to eternal salvation with their Creator? Because apart from that, they won't have it. So would you join me and work with me? So they decided they would become his disciples. And I think in the church, we think of disciples like as something that's just Christian. And we think, well, that's just a Jesus thing. You know, it's like disciples and Jesus. And yet when that idea of a disciple in that particular culture of the day, it was actually a pretty common concept. And it's not just a church kind of word and idea. I mean, it stands on its own two feet, right? But in that particular day, when this idea of a disciple was someone who followed in the footsteps of somebody else who was considered to be somebody that was an expert, was an expert teacher, somebody that had a very solid grasp on the very thing that they were sharing and preaching, teaching to other people. And so in that Jewish community, they called that person a rabbi. Many of you have probably heard this discussion before and this topic talked about. But for that rabbi and the disciple was one who would trust so implicitly in that teacher. And you would listen and hang on to every word, and you would be so close, and where they went, you would go, right? And when they would speak, you listened, and you were hanging on their every word. We do a lot of that today, don't we, with podcasts and all that kind of stuff, you know, and a number of you probably got multiple podcasts that you listen to, which is pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of fantastic teaching and folks out there. You can be exposed to that and just help you grow and build up. I mean, it's super cool. It's really, really good. And this is that same sort of concept in their day, except they didn't have podcasts, right? And so they would learn from this person, and what they would do is they would try to live out what they were learning. So if this rabbi said that when, let's say that this particular instance happens, this is the way that you ought to respond, or if you hear somebody telling you this is the way it is, then you are educated to be able to speak an opposing principle, right? And so if you didn't agree with that, then you knew how to speak against it and have it and form a conversation. And so they would have all this, and they're growing and they're learning, and so they were walking out there. And so it's this idea that wherever they would go, they would be alert to what was happening around them, right? And so as people are talking and they're making choices, they're watching and they're listening. And they're not just mindlessly going through their day, and life's just, and sort of the world's oblivious around them, you know, kind of that thing. And so that was not them. And they would act as this advocate for what this particular person believed in and taught them, of course. And the goal was to take what they learned and try to influence other people to follow along, to embrace it likewise, and to make decisions and to live daily based on what they were learning. And so Jesus was believed to be this great rabbi. It's one of the ways that the Jewish community saw him and understood him and related to him, probably as much as anything else. But when they listened to Jesus, the thing that was a little bit different when Jesus taught is that when he taught as somebody that had authority. And in fact, the scriptures talk about that. You know, if you've read that, you know, they talk about, he wasn't somebody that like, I gotta quit saying that so much. That's a habit. I do that all the time. Like, he was somebody who didn't just read something and write a book report and go, well, here's what I read. Let me share with you what I learned yesterday. You know, when he taught as someone as though he wrote the law and as though he wrote the prophets and he wrote the Psalms, that when he spoke and he taught, it was one of expert authority. He had full grasp of it, and there wasn't an angle to it or an element of it at all that he didn't fully grasp and wasn't able to present in any situation of any context, regardless of what was happening all around him with people that either were trying to figure him out or they were totally against him. It didn't matter, because he could speak it to you in a way that would cut right into the heart of the moment, as though he was the only person in the world on the face of the earth that could do that. Well, he was. Because he was the Son of the living God on the face of the earth. Anybody can speak the truth. It's the living Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Absolutely. And so it was in that role that Jesus gave this particular mission to the disciples, that he wanted them to go out and to make disciples. And I know y'all have seen this passage so many times, but once again, let me throw it up here and read it to us this morning. So here's what Matthew records Jesus saying before he ascends into heaven as he gives this mission to the church. And Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, there's that rabbi part coming out here, right? And surely I am with you always till next Friday. And surely I'm with you always until the coronavirus passes away. And surely I'm with you always until you get the right president in office that you like. Wait a minute, doesn't say that either. I'm sorry. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I love how Jesus leaves that open at the end. Because what does the rabbi, the great teacher, the living word, the Lord of heaven and earth, who knows all, who's aware of all things, what is he potentially saying to his disciples before he leaves? I will be with you. And it will not be conditioned on the condition of the land and the people and the politics or the poverty. I just will be with you. It won't be conditioned on viruses or... I just will be with you. It won't be conditioned on whether or not your marriage is where you want it to be. No, I will be with you. It won't be conditioned on whether or not you get along with everybody at school. Which you guys probably do, you know, because I mean, you guys are like super cool and nice, easygoing guys and all that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, but I will be with you through even those times when it's not going your way. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age, and there will come times through years and years until we get to the end of the age where there's going to be seasons where it stinks. And it's really hard, and you wish it wasn't that way, but I want you to go teach about the spiritual kingdom of God. I want you to go be an advocate for being in the kingdom. Which is kind of what he's getting at when he says, I want you to go baptize people in the name of the what? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to go be an advocate for the kingdom. Invite people to come be a part of the kingdom of God, and we'll baptize them. That'll be a sign to others that they believe and want to orient their life around following the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is that great rabbi who's not just a rabbi, but he's the living word of God. Only with a microphone can I ever get my voice to sound like that. It's fun. This passage, as the church started to move forward without Jesus being there on the earth, this passage became the driving focus for everything that the church did. It became the main filter of how they made decisions as a group of believers together, as corporately, but individually as well. And the church saw this mission as something that was unique. They saw it as something which was holy. It wasn't just a fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants kind of, you know, if you got time or it's cool, if it's convenient, you know, like if you... I did it again. If you totally can make it work in your schedule, on your calendar, and you can swing it, totally do it. It'll be fun. No, they said, okay, instead of putting this commission as a piece of all these other things, watch this, because this is totally different. They said, we start with this, and then we'll orient the rest of our life around this. So, this Great Commission became the center, and then, am I going to hit some? Oh, better move. So it became the center, and then they said, okay, so my family and my work and my synagogue experience or my faith experience as well, and as I'm hanging out and doing my hobbies and things I like to do, and as I'm traveling, and right, and it just centered around that. I wonder if for many of us the temptation is to take that and put it on the outside as one piece of, and when it works for us, we step to it But when it's not convenient or comfortable or it causes us to stretch a little bit, then we turn and say, no, I can't do that over here because I need to do this. But so basically what we're doing is we're saying, my comfort, what makes me feel better, what's easier for me, is what I'm building my life around. And sometimes, here's what I find, sometimes we're not even consciously trying to do that because we love Jesus. We're like, I want to make disciples. You know, it's like, I want to be a part of this. And maybe in that moment, something leads us to say, you know what, I'm gonna choose me right now. And Jesus can sit over here and wait. Because right now, this is important to me. I have wrestled with that many a times, and that is still something that tempting thought rears its ugly head. And in those moments, I'm faced with like I need to make a decision. I need to pay attention in this moment because my selfishness or my pride or my greed or even, you know, kind of wants me to go here. But that's going to take me away from the mission of serving Christ to help share the good news of Jesus with my life via my words and my actions in this particular moment. So now I have this choice. Where am I going to go? It's like a dance, isn't it? The Apostle Paul. Man, sometimes I want to do this and I know it's the right thing I'm supposed to do and then I don't do it. And sometimes I know I shouldn't do this and that's the thing I end up doing. And it's like this dance, right? It's like, Lord, because you know your heart's in the right place, but it's just, it's like that dance sort of thing. You're going, oh, Jesus, help me. Please help me. Holy Spirit, help me in this moment because I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Help me because I'm wrestling with it. And sometimes it feels like a wrestle, huh? Not like this gentle dance. It's just like, ah. Yeah, I get it. Let me tell you, I fully get it. It's our story. The truth of the gospel tells the church that, look, because of your salvation, you have been set apart as holy. Now, even though you may not see yourself as holy, but with the presence of the Spirit of the living God dwelling within you through your salvation and orienting your life towards God, I'm telling you what, folks, you are holy. Not because you have made yourself holy, but because the righteousness of Christ has made you holy. It is not your own doings, it is the power of the cross. He has set you apart to be a holy people in an unholy culture that needs to see and hear and be exposed to what the holiness of God looks and sounds like and acts like in a world that doesn't know how to prioritize the words and the works and the identity and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the unspiritual don't understand spiritual things. They don't have the understanding of that. Then God says, look, I'm going to make it so that by my presence in you, when you are out in the world can learn what it looks like and sounds like and acts like to be my people who have been transformed by my grace. And that people will learn about me by the way that you love them. I thought that was a pretty fitting segue into today. And yeah, I'm jumping around in this morning, but that's okay. Because it makes me beg the question then, how should we live in light of the coronavirus? How should we live out in day to day, no matter where you're going, okay, what you're doing, kind of thing. How should we live? How should we respond as the people of God in the midst of this sort of crisis, if you will, that is all around us, surrounding us? And I come back to the teaching of Jesus, which I think is always a good place to go. And the Jesus says, go be a light in the darkness. Go be a light in the darkness. Go, and part of that looks like this, wisely promote the well-being of others. Now, some of this may go, well, that's just common sense. Well, you would think so, but not everybody uses what we call common sense, it seems like, right? I mean, that's kind of like, oh, yeah, for real. So when you're out, because some of you, I'm sure, are going to have to continue to go to work. The kids are out of school. I know they're happy about that. But wherever you're going and that kind of thing, I want to encourage you, and it just in one sense, wisely promote the well-being of others. Now, if that means that you feel like I shouldn't come to church because, then don't come, right? That's fine. That's totally okay. Use wisdom and promote the well-being of others around you. Making wise choices impacts people around you. Everything you do impacts people around you. So, God, give me wisdom so that I make right choices in the midst of this season. Whether it's where I go, it's when I go places, it's how close I get to people, it's thinking about how do I feel today, and if maybe I feel under the weather or whatever. Just having wisdom in the midst of all of that. And also, here's my next one. Ask the question, how should our faith inform our response? Well, I think there's a couple of verses that help us on this, passages, but and I just want to share this with you, so maybe you want to write these down, you can take it with you. I'm not going to read them all here in this moment, but how should our faith inform our response? Basically, it's this. The Lord is Lord of heaven and earth. And while he has called me to make wise decisions about how I live my days, he has not called me to live by fear. He has called me to live by faith. But a faith that practices wise choices. I know that sounds so simple, but it really is, it is that simple. That we will trust that, you know, the Lord has overcome already all the things that would oppose towards our destruction on this earth. Now, if he's already overcome it, and we look at this cross, and the cross reminds us that, oh, there's not a body hanging here because he was buried, he was resurrected from the dead, right? He claimed victory over death. So Christ overcame, and through the promise of the gospel, I am an overcomer. But God does not invite his church to go live making foolish decisions with a knowledge that says, oh, I'm an overcomer, so it don't matter. No, that's ignorance. The church is called to wisdom and faith. A wisdom that believes in the identity and the position of God as the Lord. And I will rest in this. Though come what may, God's in control of it all, and I'm going to rest in that. And I will inhale, and I will exhale beyond 4 feet from somebody else. I will inhale grace, and I will exhale worship and thank the Lord for who he is. And then I will remember the promise of 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. He didn't call the church to be a body of fear in the midst of a time that's full of fear. Whether it's rightly deserved, it's a very crazy, tumultuous time. He says, it doesn't matter the situation, but I've called you as a holy people who's set apart to represent the kingdom of God in a time that doesn't want to acknowledge the kingdom of God, doesn't understand the kingdom of God, doesn't know the promises that come with the kingdom of God. And I want you to be a people who will go stand in the midst of the fear and the anxiety and the worry and the struggles and the chaos, and the people that overreact, and the people that underreact, because both are just as bad. And I want you to be a presence of wisdom and faith and trust in me. I want you to stand on me. And when you interact with people who are full of anxiety, I want you to be the presence of calmness. When people are nervous and they're just twitching, you know, they're so nervous, they're scared. I want you to be a presence of peace in that moment. Not that you're not concerned, but remember, you check the concern with Christ. And you allow the concern to be placed into Christ. I'm rightly concerned. I am too of this day. But I believe that Christ has overcome the grave and all the concerns of the world. And so I'll place my concern in Him. I will inhale, sort of inhale grace, right? That mental image. And say, thank you, Jesus, that in the end, I'm okay because I know you win. And through you, I win. And I am an overcomer in Christ. And so I'll carry the message of the cross in my heart in the midst of crises. And may that message influence the choices that I make and be medicine in the time of crisis. My prayer for us as we move forward is that we will do two things, mainly. One, we will embrace a posture in our faith of everything that I talked about today, right? Because I believe that's grounded in the message of the gospel of Christ and a people of faith today who've been set apart to be a kingdom people in the world that would be an influencer in our community, pointing people to finding peace and hope in Christ, especially in the midst of crisis. That's the first thing. And the second is that, you know, you remember the disciples when, as I said, when they were out and about, they were paying attention to what was happening around them. Remember me saying that? Because they're looking to see where they can teach and help construct a certain way of thinking and living and acting. So they're paying attention to what's happening. Pay attention to the opportunities that are around you. If there are elderly neighbors or friends or family members that you can serve in the midst of this season of working through the coronavirus and you can do good for them, you can help them out, help them out. If there are those who maybe are just sick from something else, you know, or somehow their immune system is compromised right now, find a way. How can you help them out? How can you serve them? How can you represent the attitude of Christ? What can you do? What can we do as a church? Maybe, like with Hope Central, it's donating food or hygiene products. Good luck finding toilet paper. But, I mean, if there's other stuff that you can donate, then to Hope Central, that perhaps you can make a donation for there. And remember that it's like, I don't need to hoard my stuff and say, oh, I got to keep it. I can't because I don't know. It's like, no, I have a reasonable amount that I need, and I trust the Lord. And He says better to give than it is to receive. And so I want to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. And so, God, what shall I give? And I choose to give. And so maybe Hope Central could be a recipient of that the Lord leads you to give and be a blessing to the community around in Warrick County, right? That they minister, they serve. So taking the time to just be aware around you and make wise choices, but keep the cross and the message of the gospel at the center of how you think. And if you find that your emotions are starting to go, I'm like freaking out, man. It's like, okay, that's legit. That's like, I get that. I'm not devaluing that, right? Because your emotions are your emotions. Breathe. God, I trust you. And I want to serve you. And I want to go where you send me. And I want to say what you want me to say. And I want to respond the way that you want me to respond to the people around me and the situations I'm in. I know I can't control other people. I know I can't. I can't. And I can't control what they say, and I can't control what they do, and I can't control if they invade my 4-foot space. I'm not making light of all that. But, you know, it's just that sometimes we get very controlling in times of crisis, and the thing about the gospel is say, look, you're never really in control of it all anyways, because I am the Lord your God. Trust me, serve me, walk with me, go with me, be my mouthpiece. I got you. Don't be ignorant and foolish. Be the wise one. Be a presence of calmness and peace and trust in the storm. And let that light shine. so that people could say, how come you're not like all over the top crazy in the midst of all this? How come it's not bothering you? I'm telling you, if you ever get that question, that is an open door to share the gospel right there, to share your faith and your story, you know? You know when the church, historically, you know when the church has grown the most? During crisis. Because people are scared. And when life is kind of just doing its thing, it's kind of okay. And you can manage. But when you don't feel like you can manage, it gets really scary really quick. And your heart starts yearning for something beyond yourself. And people start asking. So listen to the questions that are being asked in the world. And be willing to share the peace that you have in Jesus. Amen. That's part of how we make disciples. It's part of how we serve Christ. And that, my friends, is my heart for us, and I know it's for our elders and for so many of you here at New Hope, is that we want to make disciples who of Christ who love, grow, and serve. And that's part of that serving is to serve the mission of Christ. Help people know him and come into a relationship with him and be a part of his kingdom with the message of the cross. May that be on our lips and be on our heart, and the peace of God may continue to go with us. May we find strength and grace and in each other during this season. For you're not alone. We have each other. We have Christ. We're in good hands. We are. Amen.